I'm Luca Massimo Barbero, associate curator at the Peggy Guggenheim Collection in Venice and commissaire of the exposition. It's a kind of a game. It's a telling a story about Peggy and Solomon and our collections. But also, I thought Brussels as a kind of origin through Magritte. The museum is in front of the gallery and the history of the place. So I thought that even Peggy has these surrealist beginnings. So when you step into the show, the first work you'll see, it's the Boîte en Valise by Marcel Duchamp.
Of the 60 pieces, do you have a favorite?
I do think that there's a kind of very strange, strong white Fontana. Peggy never collected Fontana, Lucio Fontana, the specialist master. And I think that it's a very strong work shown without two Lucio Fontana's halls. These are slashes. And I think it's a trick. Peggy never bought a Fontana, but the New York Museum had two Fontana shows. And that's a gift of Fontana widow to the Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum. Art history sometimes can be very odd. So finally, we have three Fontanas in our collection. And it's a very pure work. I would say Fontana, it's an antidote to Pollock.
My name's Philip Rylands. I'm director of the Peggy Guggenheim Collection in Venice, which is a part of the Solomon R. Guggenheim Foundation, which is based in New York. And we all know the great Solomon R. Guggenheim Museum on Fifth Avenue in New York, and that's our sister institution. And it's these two museums who are represented in this exhibition called Full Abstraction.
What can you tell us about Peggy Guggenheim?
She's an extraordinary character who wrote a very lively, entertaining autobiography called Out of This Century. And there are other biographies of them. I might even recommend one called Mistress of Modernism, which is a sort of play on words, by Mary Dearborn. So she has a great life, and she's a woman full of stories. She knew some of the most extraordinary intelligences in the artistic bohemia of the 20th century. Her second husband was Max Ernst. Her first husband she called the King of Bohemia. So she lives this very rich life, and she has actually, in the 1940s, a kind of historic moment of becoming, because in the 1940s, during the Second World War, a lot of European artists had moved to the United States to escape from the war. Think of the fact that, for example, Piet Mondrian recommended Jackson Pollock to her in the first case, beginning a five-year sponsorship on her part, which launched Jackson Pollock's career. She took an almost fully formed collection of 20th century European art when she commissioned Friedrich Kiesler, an émigré from Austria, who's an architect, to design her gallery, which she called memorably Art of This Century. She created an environment between the works of art and her sponsorship of artists, which helped to bring about what we now know as American Abstract Expressionism. If you consider that she gave one-man exhibition to people like not just Jackson Pollock, but also Mark Rothko, Hans Hofmann, Clifford Still, William Basiotis, David Hare, Robert Motherwell. These are remarkable achievements. So she's a determining factor in 20th century art. One mustn't forget that Solomon Guggenheim had his way too, a pioneering collector of pure abstraction. Above all, Kandinsky. Solomon Guggenheim is also responsible for bringing to America great modernist European art and then developing that into a museum which becomes one of the leading museums of modern contemporary art in the United States. If you imagine a painting by Mondrian in his maturity, then the adjective cold could spring to mind. Highly intellectual. Peggy Guggenheim met Mondrian at some point. She was quite nervous that he was going to talk to her about neoplasticism or the fourth dimension or mystical things. Instead, he asked her where they could go and dance, which is kind of a cute anecdote from her memoirs. But I think you could accurately say that a great deal of American abstract expressionism, based at the point, is very hot indeed. And you get a wonderful painting by Joan Mitchell, which is full of expressiveness and is, and you know, and you think, you imagine somebody painting that who's in a fury. In a froth of fury, so it's highly expressive. That the temperature is often very high indeed, and you feel the adrenaline flows through the paintings as it must do in action painting. You know, the adrenaline almost transmits itself to the pigment. No, it's hot enough.